today we're continuing our series called In the Zone. Last week we kicked off a series called In the Zone and learning what it means to live in the sweet spot of God's success. That God has a zone that he wants every one of us to live in. It's a term we use a lot today, that people are in a zone, whether it's someone everything they do is touching the gold. It seems like every move they make is the right move. They get promotion to work. They do things right. I mean, they just have those days where they're not making mistakes and things are happening for them. We use it a lot on the athletic field with someone who's playing golf when they're, like today, and the day it could be raining and muddy and things happening, and still yet they're hitting the ball straight as an arrow and just playing a game in their life. I said, man, that person is in the zone because they don't usually play that way. Or maybe they're playing basketball. One time I was playing basketball, and I remember just being in the zone one time where no matter what you could do, you know, you could tap someone on you, you could just throw it up behind your back, and it bounce off the backboard and go in. Every once in a while we have those games, you're like, man, hey, you know, this is my day. I'm in the zone. No matter what I do, no matter what I shoot, it goes in. You know, with quarterbacks today we playing and people talk about now they're in the zone. They've hit the last 12 passes in a row. They're in the zone. And so we're talking about what it means to live in the zone as a Christian. That every day that God has designed that you and I live in the zone as Christians. As a sweet spot of success that God has destined for you and I to live in. And we've got to learn this, that there is somewhere that God wants us to be. Amen, God. See, God says amen to that. He's amen me from heaven this morning. He's still upset about the Sooners losing. He's just telling me anyway. Amen. God has a sweet spot that he wants you and I to live in. And as Christians, many times we are around the zone a lot. Sometimes we cross through the zone. Sometimes we step in and out of the zone. But many times we lose the focus of that God has a sweet spot for us to click on every cylinder spiritually that he wants us to walk in, to live in. There's a place that he designs for us to be and to walk in. And today I'm going to ask you this question, which is the title of our sermon today, which is, what are you going to do with your Skittles? What will you do with your Skittles? That's a big question. Turn to your neighbor and ask him that. What will you do with your Skittles? How many would like to have some Skittles right about now? Wouldn't that be nice to have some Skittles right about now? Well, I happen to have some Skittles right now. They smell good too. You know, Skittles just smell good, don't they? You smell them. You can just smell the sugar. You know, one time when Preston was just a young boy, he came to me in the store and said, Dad, buy me some Skittles. He didn't say it that way. He said, Dad, can I have these Skittles? I probably couldn't even say them at that time. But he wanted some Skittles. And I did what every good dad does. I said, all right, son, I'll buy you some Skittles. I'm not the kind of dad that buys things in the grocery store. Don't you hate it when they put all the candy right there when you're trying to check out all the little toys and gadgets? So I'm kind of anti that. So I usually don't buy it just because I protest. If you put them there for me to have to tell my kid no, you know, the whole time. Every time we're in line. You know, usually when I walk up the front of the line, before we even get there, I tell my kids, no. What? I'm just telling you ahead of time, no. Don't even grab the candy. Don't grab the gum that you're going to get in your hair and in my car and all over the place. Don't even ask me, okay? It's no. But this particular day, I gave in and gave some Skittles to Preston. He was with me. He was the only one with me at the time. And he got them, and he was so happy. He opened them up, and he began to eat them, you know. He was eating these Skittles, and I said, Preston, can I have one? And being the good son he is, what do you think he said? No! That's what he said to me, no! These are mine! Now, there's something about this that we need to understand is this. First of all, Preston did not have an understanding of who I was. Because, first of all, I'm the one who bought the Skittles. I bought him the Skittles. His dad earned that money and bought him that Skittles. Second thing he didn't understand was this, that if I wanted to, I can take the Skittles from him. I will wrestle him down in the store, put my foot on his chest and yank those things out of his hand if I have to. If I want these Skittles and you say no, I'm going to take me some Skittles. That makes me want them even more. And so he doesn't realize that if I wanted to, I could take these things from him because I'm stronger than he is. Also, my son didn't realize this, that if I eat the whole bag, you know what? It's okay. because I can take my credit card out and I can buy him 500 bags of Skittles if I wanted to. I could buy him more Skittles than he would ever eat all year long. Because if I wanted to, I could bless him with all kinds of Skittles. He could have tropical fruit, sour punch, regular Skittles. I mean, he could have them all, the different ones. But he didn't have a knowledge of that. He was just worried about his Skittles. And they were mine. And no, you can't have any. And I wonder how many of us are just like that. That's our approach about our things. That's our approach about our things. And God is asking us just for a few Skittles. And we're like, no! These are my Skittles! They taste so good! These are my Skittles! And God asks us for some. And we have to realize that this, that number one, God isn't one who gave them to us to begin with. He is the owner. We got to realize that God's the one who owns the Skittles in the first place. The second thing we don't realize is this, that if God wanted to, he could take the Skittles from us. At any point, he could take anything from our life that he wanted to take. A third thing we can realize is if God wanted to, he could take Skittles and rain them down on us at any point. He could rain as many Skittles down as he wanted. He could give us as many Skittles as we wanted. God has that power. And so we've got to have a working knowledge of who God is and trusting in him, that he is the owner and we are what? The managers. And everything we have belongs to him. We're in a series we called In the Zone. We're talking about that today, continue talking about how to live in the blessed place. How to live in the blessed place, the sweet spot of God's success. And we talked about last week that God is for you. And you got to realize this, that God is for you. If no one's ever told you that before, you hear from your pastor today, hear from me, listen to me. God is for you. God is for you. God is for you. God is your biggest fan. There's nobody who wants to bless you more than your God. There's nobody who wants to see the goodness of God more than God himself given to you. I mean, I love to bless my children. I love to bless them. I love to see good things come their way. And we are made in his image. How much more does our Heavenly Father love to bless us? He wants to see me succeed. I want to see my children succeed in school, succeed in everything they do in their life. I am their biggest fan. When everybody else sees things and they see things in the natural, they see things, you know, the abilities they have and the mistakes they make, and they see things and they judge them. I look at my children and I see them for the success they are. I see them for the place they can be because I'm a father. I naturally do that. I see that they are better than what they think they are. I see they can do more things. They can control themselves and they can do things. They can act better. They can show respect. They can do better in their grades. They can give a better 110% on the field. They can do everything. They can control themselves, and they can do things in a way I see them for the children they are not. And I believe that in them, and I want that for them. And how many of us know that God wants us in the same way? God wants us to be in the blessed place. He wants you and I to succeed to the fullness. He wants the best for us, and God is for you, and God is for me. But some of us, we do this. We drift in and out of the zone. We know the zone is there. Sometimes we pass through it briefly. But many of us, we live out here outside the zone. We live outside the zone. We're in the land hip here we called the Ing last week. We talked about the land of the Ing. How many have ever lived in the land of the Ing? I-N-G, Ing. Ing means what? It means owning, clothing, earning, bling, bling. All those things that we get to ourselves, we learn that we live in the land of Ing, and God is what? God is wanting me to take my Ing and get it right here. So God is what? God is the blessor. That's the word we made up last week. God is the blessor. He is the blessor. He gives the bless to me. And when the blessor puts the bless on me, I become blessed. And when I take my Ing and I bring it into the zone and say, God, I receive your bless. Everything I have belongs to you. Everything I do belongs to you. He takes his bless and puts it on my Ing, and I become a blessing. And I'm able to give out to others and reflect who he is. I receive your son, Jesus Christ. I am lining up in the zone. I'm being obedient to your word, and I'm taking my things that I have. I give them now to you. You are in control of everything in my life. I take what I have, and you put your bless on my Ing, and now I become a blessing. And so we're learning what it means to be a blessing, learning what it means to live in a sweet spot of God's success. We talked about this last week, that blessing means through what? What does blessing mean? If we define it this way, blessing means to simply this, to be on the receiving end of both the tangible and intangible favor of God. Blessing means to be on the receiving end of both the tangible and intangible favor of God. That God has tangible and intangible favor that he longs for you and I to be in. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that God wants to bless me until I get to heaven. Well, that's fine. You go ahead and believe that. But you're going to miss out on a lot on this earth because eternity starts when? Eternity starts today. Eternity starts when I accept him as Lord and Savior. My eternity starts then with him. And he longs for me to be blessed even now. And it's not comparable to today, what it's going to be in heaven. I know that. But there is a blessed state that he longs for you and I to walk in. Blessing is a deep thing. We throw those words out. You bless you. God bless you. And we talked about that definition last week. And we want to learn what it means to be on the receiving end of the tangible and intangible favor of God. This is the zone. And today doesn't make a difference whether you have Skittles and mountain size like Bill Gates, or you just have medium-sized Skittles, or you just have a small bag of Skittles like I had this morning. Doesn't make a difference about that. We're not talking about the size of your Skittles. We're talking about learning that what are you going to do with the Skittles you have? Learning that God blesses me when I learn that every Skittle I have comes from God. That he is the owner and I'm the manager. And that he is control of everything. When we learn these principles, we are learning to align ourselves up in the zone. And I would tell you today, it's impossible. It is impossible. Let me say it again. It is impossible to be in the sweet spot of success where God wants you without getting this principle today. And it's such an important thing today. Let me tell you this. We find out in Genesis 1:28, God told Adam and Eve this. He said, listen, in the garden, take care of my garden. That's what he said in 1:28. Adam and Eve, I instructed them to take care of my garden. So what was he saying? He's saying that, listen, this is the Garden of Eden. This is a wonderful place I have created for you. I own this place. And I'm letting you live here for free. I'm letting you enjoy it for free. You do everything you want. But I'm asking you to do this one thing. Take care of my garden and don't eat of a tree. He gave him some rules. But he said, listen, I am the owner. You are the manager. So it goes back to the debate of what is the longest running profession? It's a manager. And landscapers, that's what we are there. You find that out right then. Landscaping. We were asked to landscape. We were asked to take care of the thing, the land that God has given us. That's what his first thing that he asked us to do was to take care of what he's given us. And so we reflect who he is through this. But large blocks of us, we don't live in a zone. Many of us are zoned out instead of being zoned in. We're zoned out instead of being zoned in. We're on the ledge, we're on the edge, instead of finding ourselves in the sweet spot of success where God wants us to be. You know, I was thinking this morning, as I was preparing this morning in my spirit again, and I was thinking about the messages I've preached over this last 15, 16 months, and I totaled it up. I probably preached around 72, 75 messages, give or take a few, and I've never preached about Skittles. And how many know I'm not talking about Skittles this morning? I'm talking about our money. I'm talking about things we have, our stuff. I've never preached one sermon on that yet. But as I look through Scripture, the Bible is full of it. Do you realize when it comes to money that Jesus talked about money, stuff, things we have? He talked about that more than he talked about heaven or hell or prayer or faith. Do you realize over 30% of parables in the Scripture had to do with our stuff and money? Over 30%. Of the parables Jesus taught had to do with money or our stuff. Is that crazy or what? So what we're going to do is spend the next year catching up. Just playing. But today I do want to talk about that because it's an important role of learning to walk in the blessing of God. Money is so huge. It's an extension of who we are, isn't it? I mean, the mean green. Money is a huge thing. Some of you say, money is evil. The Bible says it. I read it. Money is evil. It's in the Bible. No, you didn't read that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. the love of money. It didn't say money was evil. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. It's the love of it. Because again, the goal that God has led me on, this journey today, is us learning to be in the zone. That God has a zone, a sweet spot of success he wants us to live in. Wow. We see in Scripture that God said this. He said, give the first day to me. Give the first day to me. What was he talking to me? He said, I created 7 days and give the first day to me. That's what he said when he made the heavens and the earth. Give me the first day. He asked for even 1 day out of the week. He asked for the first day of the week. There's another story in Joshua said this. There were 10 cities when the children of Israel were leaving Pharaoh and they were in bondage and they were crossing the Jordan River. And he said to Joshua, he said, hey, man, I've got 10 cities I'm going to give to you. You're going to conquer them, and these 10 cities are going to be yours. But Joshua, the first city you're going to go to is Jericho, you know, the city with the big walls. March around them 7 times, they're going to fall down. I'm going to give you this first city. I'm going to give you all 10 cities, and I'm going to give you everything in the cities. But he said, Joshua, the first city, Jericho, everything that they have, all their possessions, all their gold, all the silver, everything they have, I want you to bring it to me. It belongs to God. The rest of the 9, you can have. You can have a rest of everything in the 9 other cities. But the one city, the first city, I want you to give to me. We see where he commanded him to do this in Exodus 13:2. Listen to what it says here. It says, consecrate. What does it mean to consecrate? It doesn't mean the thing that frozen orange juice is made out of, okay? Consecrate is not the thing that frozen orange juice is made out of. What does consecrate actually mean? What does it mean? It means to set aside to make it what? Holy. Set aside to make it holy. So he said this, consecrate, set aside, make it holy, every firstborn male, first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. So he's telling them that the first, and back then in the Old Testament, we see but the firstborn son had a lot of weight. The firstborn son was supposed to be given as a consecration to God. He was supposed to be made holy to God, given unto God to be used as a man of God, to be used how God wanted him to use. And he also said all the animals, the firstborn of the animals, you to bring them to me, give them to me as a sacrifice. And they would take the animals and put them as a sacrifice unto the Lord and shed their blood as an offering of sacrifice. And he said this, he said that even the pigs, the what, the swine? He said, don't bring them to me because they're unclean. So if a pig is born first, don't bring him to me. Bring the next animal firstborn. And what happens is that animal takes the place of the unclean animal. It makes that animal worthy. You say, why is that a big deal? Pastor, you're talking about giving the firstborn of the animals to the ass and the firstborn of the son? Because we realize this, that Jesus gave what? Jesus gave his only begotten son. I mean, talking about giving first. Here's God, he gave his son. Why? So that he could give his life for you and I, and we return, we could receive that. He makes us worthy. He makes us worthy through the accepting of him. And so we see throughout Scripture, God says that we are to bring him the first of what he's asked us to do. He has asked us to bring the first things first to him. We see in Scripture here in Exodus 23:19. It says, the first of all the first fruits of your hand you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. The first of the first fruits. Everybody say the first. Turn to your neighbor and say the first. The first of your first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. First things first. Bring it to what? Bring it first. And we see this story play out in Cain and Abel, where God had asked them to bring their first fruits. And we see here where Cain had an offering and Abel had an offering. And Abel was the farmer. He took care of the livestock. And Cain was the harvester. He took care of the crops. And Abel brought his first animal to the Lord. And the Lord accepted it and was so pleased because he was obedient. And it says Cain brought his offering of his first fruits and gave them to God. And God rejected his offering. And Cain got so mad. And we looked at this. I think, you know, when I first read this, I used to think this story had to do about blood, you know. That, of course, because God wanted, he wanted blood to be shed for forgiveness of sins. And that's what it meant. No. So we look at this. Let's read the scripture again. In Genesis 4:3. Look what it says here about this story. In Genesis 4:3, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Hello, listen to that. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to God. I hope you didn't miss that one. The course of time means what? It means that he just said, you know what? I'll wait till all my crops are in. I'll wait till everything is brought in. I'll see what I have. You know what? This is, well, that's a pretty good crop. I've had a great harvest here. You know what? I think I'll give God a bone here. Here you go, God. Here you go. Here's some of these crops, and I'll bring them to you. His attitude was different than Abel's. Abel brought his first fruit. Abel brought the first of the given to him. He didn't hesitate. Where Cain hesitated, and he waited till everything was brought in, then he just took some little bit that he had and gave it to God. He wasn't obedient. God asked for the first of the fruit. God asked for the firstborn. He asked for the first things first. He asked for us to bring him his first fruits first. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Look what it says here. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth within thee. Listen to what it says. With thee. Honor the Lord with thee, the first fruits of your crops. With the first fruits of your crops. Then the barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. What's he saying? You bring God, honor God with the first things, the first fruits. Bring God the first 10%. He says, and then what happens? He says, then the rest will be blessed. And then your barns will be overflowing. Then everything you have will be blessed, and you'll have more than what you need. You'll have more than enough. I will bless what you have when you bring God first. How many know what it means to bring? Today I want to talk to you about this. Don't give it, bring what belongs to God. Don't give it, bring what belongs to God. Does anyone here have a $100 they can bring me? I need $100. Somebody bring me $100. Hey, that's a manic face right there. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Me and my family, we're going to eat good today after church. Wow, he brought me $100. Wow, someone actually did it. How many know it wasn't hard for him to bring me $100? You know why? Because before church started, I gave him $100. I said, hey, when I ask for $100, you bring it to me. And so when I asked for $100, you know what he did? He brought it to me right away. Why? Because it's mine. I gave it to him. And the rest of you are thinking, should I do this? Should I not? Give him $100, right? I earned this money. This is my $100. I ain't being so quick to bring him. Our pastor, he's a nice guy and all. But he'll probably just gamble away on the golf course today or something. You know, you're thinking, just playing. But you're thinking about things. This money belongs to me. So it was easy for him to bring me his $100. Why? Because it was mine. And God asked us to bring. You notice he didn't say give. He says to bring. To bring. To bring. Why does he say bring it? Because it's already his. It's already his. He already owns it. So when he asks us to bring it, he's saying bring what's mine. He didn't say give what's yours. He said bring it. Bring it. There's something about that because we're learning that it belongs to him. And that's why as our attitude becomes that he is the owner and we are the managers, we say, God, I'm bringing to you what's yours because you have asked me to bring it. You are the owner. I bring it to you. I'm being obedient to you. And as I bring it and obedient, I'm learning what it means to sit in obedience and be blessed by God because I'm lining myself up. Does anybody have a $10 bill? This is not pre-made. Who has a $10 bill here? Anybody have a $10 bill? Daryl, bring me your $10 bill. Now, I got $100 here, and Daryl has a 10. Now, just hang on to your $10 bill. Let me ask you a question. If I told you that if you give me that $10, I'd give you this $100, what would you say?
Okay.
How many think that would be a good deal? Some of you need to go back to school and study math, okay? If he's going to give me 10 and I'm going to give him 100, that means what? He is going to gain $90. Now, it's really easy for me to ask Daryl, Daryl, would you trade me? He didn't hesitate at all. Why? Because he knows that he is doing what? He knows that, you know what? He's gaining. He's losing 10%, but he's gaining 90%. Now, how many think I ought to give Daryl this $100? Too bad. I'm not doing it, Daryl. Thanks. Appreciate it. Illustration ain't going that far. Come on. But you know what? It's easy. This is the question I have for you today. It's easy to bring that $10 and give it to God if God says, you know what? I'm going to give you the 100. And the question is this. Do you want 90%? Do you want 90% to be blessed? Or do you want 100% to be cursed? I can do a lot more with 90% that's blessed than I can ever do with 100% that's cursed. Pastor, what are you talking about? Let's read scriptures, what the Bible says about this, and we'll explain more about this. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is good. Listen to what he's saying. Let me tell you this. You will never, ever learn to live in the zone until you learn this principle that I have to bring my offerings to the storehouse of God. We'll never live in that place, the fullness that God has for us in the zone, until we learn this principle that the first fruits of everything I have belongs to, everything I have belongs to God, and I'm going to bring him the first fruits of my life. I'm going to give him the first 10% of my life, my money. It belongs to him. Why? Because when I bring him the 10% and say, God, here you go. This is yours. You've asked me to bring this to you. Then in return, he blesses my other 90 that I'm left with. Now, if God wanted to, you know what he could do? What could he do? If God wanted to, he could say, you know what? You bring me 90, and I'll give you 10. But God's not just after our money. It's not about that. It's not about our money that God is so worried about. It's about what our money represents to him. It's about what our money represents to him. And so he's asked us to bring it to him because he knows that if we give him control of our money, that we'll give him control of the rest of our life. When God controls our money, he controls all of our life. And so God was longing to bless us. I'm realizing that if I bring God a couple of my Skittles, if I give him 10 Skittles, all right. I may have a few less, but he's going to bless this pack. And if I run out, he's going to make sure I have enough Skittles. Some of you are just dying right now to give her and eat those Skittles. Don't worry, my kids will eat them as soon as church is over. Don't step on them. You got to know this, that money is a test. Money's a test. Money's a test about his lordship in our life. That's what it has to do. Money's a test about his lordship in our life. Let's go back for a second. You know, when God gave Jesus Christ to us, the firstborn, he gave us his son, only son. Do you imagine the people in heaven when angels went, God, hang on a second. That's a little too much to give those people. Don't give them your only son. Those people are full of sin. They don't even like you half the time. They don't obey your word. But God gave his only son to you and I, that he may die in our behalf, die for us. He gave his best. Why? Because he wanted to represent to you and I what it means to give our best. He wanted to do it. He modeled it for us. He gave his only son. What's the one thing he could have gave that would show us the value of how much he loved us? He gave his son. He gave his son to you and I to die on our behalf. And so he was showing us. And I would tell you this, the first 10% is so much the most important 10% that you have. Learn to give God your best, not your leftovers, not your tip, not what you think God needs, but learning to give God your first 10%, the first fruits, learning to give to him. Melody and I have learned this so much over our life. And it's been a process of time. And we've learned that, you know what, we just can't not live our life if we do not pay the first 10%. Our life, our finances don't go well. Our life doesn't, things don't happen. But listen, when we learn to give God the first fruits of our life, when we learn to give God the first 10%, what happens? We are learning that we are walking in a river of blessing. We're walking, you mean, Pastor, God's going to pour money out on you? I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about in every area of my life. that I'm learning that God is blessing me in my family, in my children, in my relationship, in my church, with my friends. Things are happening because I am learning to put Him first. And God, I am putting You first. Giving Him my money is me symbolizing, God, You are Lord of my life. But the problem is we don't always give Him the first. We'll say, God, well, You need this, and so I'll give You, at the end of the month, I'll give You what I can afford to give You. Sorry, I couldn't afford 10%, but God, I got 5% left over. I'll give that to You. And I know Your intentions are pure by that, and I don't think that You mean any will harm behind that, but I'm just here to say that that is wrong. According to Scripture, that's wrong. You'll never experience the fullness of the blessing of God until we learn to give Him the first 10% of what we have. God longs to put His super on my natural. You realize that when I'm in the zone, that God longs to put His super on my natural, His supernatural blessing on my natural ability. And my 90% may not look as good as Your 100% if I give it. But I guarantee you this, once I give my 10%, my 90% becomes blessed. My 90% will last me a lot longer than Your 100% cursed. My 90% will last me a lot longer in every area of my life because God is blessing that. So for us, it's a no-brainer. We don't even question it. And there was years I gave a lot more. I've had some years we gave a lot more than 10% because that's the only way we can make it. That's the only way we can make it. I remember we first started out in ministry, man, and we were stepping out in faith. And, man, there was hardly anything at all that was coming in, and we were trying to do God's work. And the only thing I knew to do was to give. So we started giving. We gave a lot more than 10% because we knew that was the only way we survived. So we would plant that seed, and we would give it out and bring it to God. And I can tell you that every bill was paid. I never had to sell off my car. I never had to sell my house. We never had to downsize. We never had to do any of those things that people tell you you have to do because we learned the principle of giving God what belongs to Him. And I can tell you this, that we look back in Joshua and see the story of Joshua. We go back and we said, all right, take the first city and give everything in it to Me when you take the city in Jericho. And so what happened? We see here where Achan, not Clay, but Achan, Achan was in the city, and as they were going through and taking the things out of the city, he looked in his one tent and said, oh, man, this is nice. This watch will fit me right here. This my wife would like this pot right here. You know what? I could take a little bit of stash and save it for later. And he gave everything else he gave to God, and everybody else brought everything they had. But Achan took and buried in his tent. He buried and hid some things for himself. And, of course, what happened? God told Joshua, hey, you're not prospering. Why? Because someone has disobeyed Me. He said, Achan. Achan has not been obedient. Achan did not bring Me the first. He saved some for his last, for himself. And what happened? He says, Achan, you are cursed. It cost Achan his life. It cost more than Achan his life. It cost him his family's life. It cost him his cattle's life. It cost him everything he had because everything he had became cursed because he was disobedient to God. I mean, God takes this thing very serious in our life. God takes our first fruits serious. When He asks us to give Him first fruits, He takes it serious. We live under a curse when we don't be obedient to giving God the first 10%. It's a curse that we live in, but it's also a blessing. We also learn to live in a blessing in the zone when we give Him the first 10%. It's the difference between cursed and being blessed. What does that mean? Let's read what it says here in Malachi 3, 8, and 9. It says, will a man rob God? Wow. Will a man rob God? This is God speaking. Yet you rob Me, but you ask Me this. How do we rob you? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing Me. Pastor, did you say that? Did you make it up? No, this is straight out of the Bible. This is what the Word of God says. This is God quoting God. God says that you are under a curse when you don't bring God our tithes and our offerings. Bring it, the first 10% to God. Look what it says here. The rest of it says, bring, in verse 10, bring the whole. Everybody say the whole. He said, bring the 5%. Bring half. No, he said, bring the whole tithe. What is a tithe? Tithe means 10%. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? In the Old Testament, it represented the temple. In the New Testament, it represents the local body, the local church. bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And this is where a lot of us, it becomes really gray, because we do this sometimes as Christians, is that we know we need to give God 10%, but we think we're still in control of that 10%. All right, God, I'll give my local church 5%. I really like this evangelist, TV evangelist, so I'll give him 2%. I'll give this missionary 2%, and I'll give this other church 1%. Boy, God, I love you. And listen, what are we doing when we do that? We are saying, God, I am the manager. No, we're saying, I am the owner, because I'm telling you what I'm going to do with this money. He says to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, your local church. And if you're listening today and this is not your local church, you don't bring your tithe here. Take it to the church you belong to. If you're listening over the internet today and you listen to this sermon over the internet, don't bring your tithe to Destiny Church if this is not your home church. Take it to your home church. Take your tithe, your whole tithe, your whole 10% should go into your local church. We should not delegate it out. Now, Pastor, how do we support missionaries then? Are you for supporting me? Yes, we do. We support missionaries out of our church. We support church plants. We support other things. And it's all right to support other ministries. I do that also personally. I support above my tithe. I support these people and give. But I'm commanded to bring to the storehouse my tithe. I'm commanded to bring it 10% to the storehouse. And so what am I doing? Because I'm saying, God, you are in control. And so I don't break up my tithe and say, God, this is how you spend it. I bring it 10% into the storehouse. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. You realize the local church is one of the most important ways, one of the most important ways of getting the gospel out. If God wants to bless his church through the local church, he wants to bless you through the local church. If he blesses your life, then the local church is going to be blessed. And in return, the local church can bless even more people. But he uses you as you're obedient and bring to the storehouse the tithes and the offerings he's asked you to bring, the first fruits. He in return blesses you and gives you even more. Since I bring my Skittles out and give my 10 Skittles, God said, here's 90. I'm going to bless your 90. And my 90 becomes a blessing to you. And I don't run out. And I have plenty to help others. Missionaries. I have plenty to help out Christian education. I have other monies to help church plants and to help buy sound equipment and help buy these things. I have other monies that I have helped to do these things because my 90% is blessed. It's blessed and I can stretch it and I can give it. We're learning to give everything to the whole house of God. And listen to what the scripture says. This is such an important scripture. I want you to listen to this. You realize that we said to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Listen to what it says here. Into the second line here. Test me. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing. Test me and see if you don't line yourself up into the sweet spot, into the zone. He says, test me. Now listen, this is the only scripture you'll find in the Bible, God says to test me. Matter of fact, we're told not to test him in every other area of our life. We don't put him to the test. But in this one area, when it comes to do with our money, God said, you just test me. And I wish this morning I could do this. I can't do it because of legal standings when it comes to giving our offerings because of being a non-for-profit status. But I wish this morning I could tell you that you give for 10 weeks, bring your first fruits. And if it's in 10 weeks, if God is not blessing your life in a greater way than you could ever imagine, and he ever has before, you can have your money back. Because God says that. That's how he believes. A money back guarantee. Legally, I can't do that. But in theory, it's so true because God says this, test me. Test me. And today, I just encourage you, put God to the test. Try it. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I've never really tithed consistently. I never brought my full 10%. I'm afraid if I bring my full 10%, my business won't make it. Or my bills won't be paid. Or I got to pay college tuition. I got to pay my son's car payment. I got to do this. I got to do that. We got so many things. I won't have enough money left over. And I say this, just put God to the test. Just put God to the test. Don't put me to the test. You put God to the test in his word. I'm not asking you to do this. God did this. He said, put me to the test and see. If you don't bring to me what's mine, see if I want to open up the floodgates of heaven and give you everything. Let your floodgates of heaven pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to eat. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the blessing. That's the zone that he wants you and I to live in as we're learning to do that. In just case you're wondering right now, the golf game is over, okay? I feel the Spirit telling me that, Brian. I hope it's all right. We're getting ready to close here. But God asks us to test him. Test me and see. Wow. This last scripture I want to read to you. This last scripture I want to read to you as musicians come this morning. Malachi 3:6. Let's read that together. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. Wow. That's what he said before he said this. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. Because we have people here today, and I've heard this excuse before. Pastor, that's just an Old Testament thing. God didn't want me to give the New Testament. That's the Old Testament. But yet, we see with 30% of God's teachings in the parables was about our money, about giving our things to Christ and belonging to him, ownership. Let me ask you this question. The Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt not kill. So I guess it's written in the New Testament. I can go out and kill somebody if I don't like them. Is that true? No. The Ten Commandments said, I'm not supposed to steal. But we're in the New Testament. If I need it, I'll go out and take it. Because I'm in the New. No. Why? Because God's Word says, don't kill. Don't steal. But yet when it comes to giving, we'll say, well, that's Old Testament. I don't believe that no more. And he says, my word does not change. This morning, I'm talking about learning to live in the zone. Learning to live in the zone that God has for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'll just be honest with you, you'll never experience the fullness of living in the zone, the sweet spot of success, until you learn that, man, my God, he has all these Skittles. And I may have just a small pack right now. But if he asks me for them, I'm going to bring them. He can have the first ones off the top. I'm going to bring him some Skittles. Whether I have a lot or I don't have very much, I'm going to bring my 10% to the storehouse. Because he's asked me to do that. Because why? Because I'm saying, God, I'm testing you. God, you are Lord of my life. Money will not be a stronghold of my life. I will not serve money more than I serve you. I will not be a man who lives just to make money or get more things or to own more things and take care of myself. But I realize that, God, you have asked me for this as a test to me, as a test to you. God is testing us. God is testing us. Will we be obedient when it comes to saying he is Lord? Well, I can say it with my mouth, but if my actions don't line up, do we really mean it? Now, this morning, I know this is a tough one to hear. Why is this so important? Because Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we know that God has asked us for our heart. He says, I want all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. He wants 100% of us. And so he tests us to see, do you really say I'm Lord? Do you really mean it? Well, Pastor, I just don't think I can do it. And I just tell you today, as your pastor, I just challenge you, take the test. Take the test and see. If you begin to give, and God doesn't hold true to his word, then you don't give anymore. But I'm telling you, when you give with a cheerful heart, and you give it, bring it to God, because you know he's told you to do it, saying, God, this belongs to you. I'm being obedient, and I'm giving it to you because I know that you're going to take my other 90%, and you're going to bless it. It's going to stretch. It's going to be more than enough for me and my family when I need it, because I'm being obedient to you. God will come through every time. He will come through every time. The question is, do you want to live in the zone and be zoned in, or do you want to be zoned out? Living in the land of Ing, worried about your earning, worried about your owning. The question is yours this morning. Let's bow our heads. This morning, as I'm speaking, I know that some of you here today are saying, wow, Pastor, I've never tithed before, and God's just really dealing with me this morning about doing that. Others you hear, you've been given, you give regularly, but you haven't been given 10%. You've only given a portion, and you stopped it because you just didn't want to feel like you give more than a certain amount. And God's talking to you today about giving a full 10% and being obedient. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today because I want this to be personal between you and God. I don't want to know your financial status. I don't want to know those things. All I want to know is you're being obedient to God. And I'm praying today God is speaking to you. I know right now in my heart that He's speaking to several in this room. Several in this room about learning to be obedient when it comes to giving God control of our money. So I want you to bow your heads for a minute. If God's speaking to you today, especially you, just take a minute right now. I want you to ask God to forgive you. Can you do that? Just ask God to forgive you first. That's where it starts. Say, God, forgive me for robbing you. Forgive me for allowing my family and my finances to operate in a curse. It first starts with repentance. And God said, we repent, God. As our pastor today, God, lead us in that prayer. Forgive us, God, those of us in this room, God, who have not given you the full 10% as you've asked us to do. And God, I pray today that God, as we ask for forgiveness, today's a new day. We're going to learn to trust you and put you to the test, God, and be obedient. Be obedient to what your word says and bring in the tithes into the storehouse. This morning, as your heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you this question. Maybe you're here today and God's speaking to you. Some of you right now, you want to give right now because the Spirit's speaking to you. I know that. The Spirit's speaking to you, and He's offering baskets along the front today. Before you leave today, when service is over, you're welcome to come up here. And you're welcome to give either a tithe or an offering or give a part. Maybe you didn't give all your tithe and give the rest of it. Whatever God's speaking to you, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying this is up here today, and this will be a good way today if God is speaking to you about being obedient. Before you leave today, I say, God, I'm giving you control of my money. I'm giving you control of my life. But you can drop that in before you leave today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because it's between you and God. But I want our church to be blessed. I want your lives to be blessed. I want your children to be blessed. And I want all of us to learn what it means to walk in the zone, to live in the zone, the sweet spot of God's success. And it will never happen until we get past this one big test in our life, and that's giving God control of our money. And God, today, I pray for every person here. Matter of fact, let's stand this morning. Can you do that? Father, we pray for every person here this morning, God. As we stand in your presence today, God, we've asked you to forgive us, Lord, those of us who have not been obedient, God, in giving you the full tithe. We've held back what belongs to you. We ask, first of all, God, for you to forgive us. Now, God, help us to be obedient from this point on, God, and to put you to the test, to say, God, you're bigger than money in my life. And I'm going to give you full control. And I want to learn what it means to walk in the zone, to live in the zone. And Father, today we're going to live it. And God, we're going to preach it. We're going to live it, God. And we accept it in Jesus' name. Say amen. Amen. God bless you today. Before you leave today, make sure you hug a neck, man. Tell somebody it's good to see you. Say God bless you. Hopefully we'll see some of you Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock. You guys have a great week.